Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Morning Show. I'm your host, Phil Huff, on this rainy Tuesday. March is certainly continuing to come in a little bit like a lion, but it's starting to show its lammy side. We're going to go to the weather in a moment, but we do have a couple of guests in the studio I want to talk about first from the Idaho Master Naturalists Panhandle Chapter, and we're going to do a breakdown on what's happening there and the spring classes that are coming up for the Idaho Master Naturalists Panhandle Chapter. But the aforementioned weather, if you've been outside, it is off and on rainy, and it's going to be that way pretty much all day. What happened to my forecast? It was up a second ago. But I can remember it from heart. It's highs in the low 40s, overnight lows, highs in the 40s, overnight lows in the 30s, and that's going to continue for the next several days with rain today, rain tonight, patchy fog. Tomorrow, a chance of that turning to snow, especially at the higher elevations. And this continues on through the weekend, which is great for stuff for those of you who are looking at the rapidly receding snow in your gardens and thinking about planting. It's wonderful for our snowpack. We do need a bit of the return to normal that our March precipitations brought along. And it's great for all things natural. And that's going to be our segue into the show today. Welcome to back to the studios. Patrick Myers, chapter president of the Idaho Master Naturalists, Pondere Chapter, and Perky Smith Hagedone, the volunteer citizen science chair. Let's start with Patrick. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oops, let me try that again with your microphone up there. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there we go. Good. That's okay. Great. And we'll get a volume check on you, Perky. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? I see your smiles. You're like me. You're fans of the rain, I think.
I love gray. It's my favorite color.
Well, gray not so much, but the rain, I love nothing more than falling asleep with that soft kind of repetitive sound of rain on the roof. It's very reassuring, especially if you're inside and dry.
Mm-hmm. I loved it last night. It was great.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking a little bit about the Master Naturalists, but tell us first how each of you came to be involved with the Master Naturalists. Patrick, let's start with you.
I was actually born and raised in the area, born in Newport and grew up in Coeur d'Alene in the Sandpoint area. In junior high age, I lived up Rapid Lightning Creek, and I went to Northside School, where Perky has been a recent principal.
Woohoo!
And at that time, we had four classrooms for eight grades, so we had a big graduation deal in eighth grade, so that was a big deal. And then went into the junior high here in town for ninth grade, and then I moved to Spokane area after that for high school.
Now, you didn't find yourself in Perky's office being disciplined.
No, we were at different times at the school. Sorry. Yes, yes. I think it was 50 or 60 years separated.
I can't imagine.
No,
he would come see me. No way.
Yeah, I did that in the mid-60s when I went to school there. And then most of my adult career, I worked in Houston, in the oil and gas business, but in the mid-90s, my wife and I decided when we were, I guess, 45 or so, that we wanted to buy property up here to retire, for me to come back home. And we did that, and in 2015, we started building. We moved in 2016 in the fall. That following year was just doing things on the property to get it set up. We have 21 acres. And in that fall of 2017, I went to a Master Naturalist field trip at Trestle Creek about kokanee spawning. And that they were doing recruiting then for the next year. And I decided to join in 2018. And I went through the classes that year. And from 2019 through 2022, 4 years, I was the education chairperson for our chapter. And last year and this year, I'm the president of the chapter.
That's an amazing resume, and so it should suit you well for what you're doing right now as president. Perky, yes. Tell us how you got involved.
Well, I moved here when I was a 22-year-old young hippie gal, and I actually have an interesting story. I came over the first time I saw Sandpoint, and I was on a freight train, because a friend had talked me into traveling by freight train. And we were in the little car carriers on top in the back of a Toyota truck playing cribbage. And it was the first time I went over the lake. And I went, wow, what is this place? We were on our way to Whitefish, Montana on the train.
Now, that's a unique. We often talk about the long bridge moment. And we assume most people are driving automobiles. But coming over back in a car on a freight train. I think that is the first one for the morning show.
Well, it's really like flying because there's nothing on either side. So you just look like you're going over the water. Because when you look at both sides, it was spectacular. And it made me want to come back, which I did when I was 22. And I raised a family, which I'm very proud of, my two sons, Zach and Jake. And then I got into education and became a school teacher. I worked at Washington Elementary, the middle school, and then I moved over to Northside and became the principal for the last nine. Well, it kind of got broken up. I was 5 years principal at Northside, then 1 year at Kootenai, and then I went back to Northside. And then I retired, and I thought, now I can get involved in another passion. Education was my passion at the time. It still is. I can still do that. Mm-hmm. So I think I saw a poster about the Master Naturalist. I was trying to remember how I even found out about it. And it just spoke to me because I love our area. I want to help protect the animals and the environments here. And there's a lot of volunteer work right on the ground. I mean, we work with Fish and Game. We work with all kinds of, we work with Scotchman Peak. We do a lot of work in the local area, and I fell in love with that. I was a member at first, and then Pat kept poking me, going, would you do our volunteer coordinating job? And I went, okay. And I've loved it. This is my second year.
So you're sort of back to the education field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't get it out of you.
No, no. Yeah. Once you have that bug, because it's the foundation, you know, once people know, then they learn to respect.
So we want to dive into what the Pondere chapter of the Idaho Master Naturalist is, but let's start first with something that's more grounding even than that. When you say Master Naturalist, define that for our listeners.
Oh, okay. Let me take that one. We have a greeting letter that we send out to all prospective members, and in there we say that our program aims to develop a core of well-informed volunteers to actively work towards the stewardship of Idaho's natural environment. So that's really the main thing. We do, in their first year, they get a lot of education classes and quite a big variety of topics, different plants, animals, birds, fish, geology, things like that. And then once they do get that education, then they can volunteer for many organizations. I think our prime one is being at our headquarters for volunteering in the summertime for greeting the public. Mm-hmm. But we do a lot of projects. We help on Fish and Game and many other conservation organizations in the area.
And your headquarters? Your headquarters are?
At the Waterlife Discovery Center, which is in Sagal, 1591 Lakeshore Drive in Sagal. It's a Fish and Game property where the old fish hatchery was.
So how did the group get started?
The Idaho Master Naturalist started, I think it was in 2008 in the Boise area. We're now, our chapter was formed in 2011, and we're now one of 11 chapters in the state. They've had two new chapters come on just this past year, and we've been very active. We hosted a rendezvous in 2022 at the SOAC Center, and that was really successful. We got a lot of people from other chapters in the state, and the next rendezvous actually for the state would be in Boise later this year.
Mm-hmm. And it has an interesting relationship with the Idaho Department of Fish and Game. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Fish and Game is our sponsor because we're partly because we're on their property where our headquarters are. But all the chapters in the state are sponsored by Idaho Fish and Game. We have a lady in Boise who is a Fish and Game employee, and she puts half of her time just to the Master Naturalists and keeping us together. She helps with time, sets up timesheets for everybody, and she orders the pins and badges that we get when we go through each year. So they provide support that way. We also have in a local Coeur d'Alene office of the Fish and Game. It's a local chapter, local office for them. TJ Ross is the communications chair and kind of outreach coordinator for them. And then we have one person named Heidi Knapp, who is the coordinator with our chapter. And so they get involved with helping us out. They have a maintenance person who comes to help with mowing the lawn and other maintenance things at the Wildlife Discovery Center.
The Wildlife Discovery Center is really an amazing place. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Okay, so if you go down Lakeshore Drive, you will come across a big patch of land. It's 6.5 acres total. 3.5 acres is devoted to a habitat education and interpretive area, and it's right on the lake, and it's an old, beautiful house. I don't know the history of the house, but it's been renovated to house the Idaho Master Naturalist Interpretive Center, and it is really cool. It's a self-guided educational center, so during the summer, the Master Naturalist, we're called NODS, Naturalists on Duty, and we have a four-hour shift, and it's usually a couple of us, and it's super fun. We generally have 20 to 30 people who come every day. We have activities, all kinds of activities. We have, you can feed the fish in the pond, which is a big, they're getting huge, by the way. Good grief. They're getting fed a lot. Yeah. And they're giant. We have fish in the pond. We have all kinds of skulls and feathers and we have a beaver set up inside. We have, let's see.
You got some pelts.
Yeah, pelts, and you can look at the birds, and there's a walk that you can go through the woods, and it has interpretive signs, so it's super fun for families to go out there and get in tune with nature. It's across the street. And the Master Naturalist, because it's Idaho Fish and Game property, one of the things we do is we help maintain it, so we have a huge cleanup every spring. And we mow, and we weed whack, and we paint, and we get it all spruced up for everybody for the summer. And then we also man it so we can answer questions, and that's probably the most fun about being a NOD is that people come through, families. Like, I have a story of a little girl. I'm a birder, and this little girl came through. She was like 11, 12. And she had this huge backpack on, and it was kind of like pulling her back. And I was looking at a bird, and she said, "What do you see?" And she had all these binoculars, and she was with her grandma. In her backpack was full of bird books. And we had more fun. I mean, she was like a birder extraordinaire. Let's see. And out there, we actually have an active beaver right at the moment, and we have muskrat and mink and river otters have been seen, tons of birds, and there's actually a wetlands out there. There's quite a few different ecosystems, environments that are involved in the area.
Yeah, it's really an amazing facility, and when most people think of it and the way you describe it, the focused attention will be on the facility, the structure that's on the north side of the road, south of the lake, but there's also those acres that are on the other side of the road.
Yeah, and they're gorgeous. Area. They're really pretty. I take my grandkids out there quite often. Yeah,
it's just amazing. Well, let's run through what some of the major program or focus areas are for the organization, and there's quite a few of them, so let's just let's run through some of those.
One of the things that we do, the primary thing in the for the first year students is education. We have classes on so many different topics. We've got mammals. We got, I think, four classes on mammals, about six or eight classes on plants and trees, four on bats and birds, three on geology, about eight on watersheds and water systems, a couple of fisheries, some introductory classes and some other related things, some entomology classes and that sort of thing. So. And one of the other things that we do on our class schedule is when we see information about other organizations providing that classes that can be considered education for Master Naturalists, then we put that on our class schedule. And our classes will be starting in at the end of next week on the 22nd of March. But for the months of January, February, and earlier in March, there are several other classes available. One of the main organizations that we partner with on that is the U of I Extension Forestry group for the Panhandle. They put on a lot of events that are related to what our people should know about trees and forestry and, you know, keeping the bugs, you know, keeping your trees healthy and that sort of thing.
So there's classes that you all offer or sponsor, and then there's classes that you advertise or share with your members.
Yes.
And your class season's coming up. Tell us a little bit more about the structure of that, how people sign up for those, how many there are. They begin next week, but they run through when?
The last classes will be at the end of October. Mm-hmm. A mushroom class is what we typically do at the last one. We'll start on March 22nd at 1 p.m. Next Friday, and then the following day we have a 9 a.m. class. The introductory class, all the information we do on that is going to be on the March 22nd, and the next day is going to be a class about a presentation that was recently done by Dr. Doug Tallamy, who is a proponent of pretty much turning our lawns into native plant habitats for pollinators. Mm-hmm. Because we don't, we're losing so many animals, birds included, really declined a lot over the last several years because we don't have enough feed for them as we grow lawns instead of having native plants. So we're going to do that presentation then. And then we have classes that are probably typically two a week for the first few months. And then in the summertime, it tapers off to be fewer. But I think altogether we'll have, 30 or so classes that we do. And there's at least that number of classes that we have on our class schedule by other organizations that can be, people can go to those and get credit for education for our chapter as well because they're relevant to us.
Now, you mentioned credit. So the classes are for new Master Naturalists or people who already hold that title?
Yeah, good question, Phil. We have the first-year members need to get 40 hours of education and 40 hours of volunteer time to certify. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean they can't be a Master Naturalist if you don't get all of that. Some people, last year we had a lot of people who were still working and they couldn't do the weekday classes. Most of our classes are... We do typically Thursday and Saturdays, but if somebody is working during the workday on Thursday, they couldn't attend those. So we do have some other options on some webinar links they can go to catch up. But we had a lot of people who either had enough education but not enough volunteering to certify or vice versa. The existing members, if it's your second year onward, you only need 8 hours of continuing education, and you can get that through the classes we do or other classes that are available in the area. And they need also 40 hours of volunteering each year to certify for that year. So we've had, I think it was 17 or 18 people who certified last year, and we had probably another dozen or so who had time entered into the timesheet system but didn't have enough to certify in one category or the other.
So it's a real loose or rough analogy. It's sort of like attending college. There's a whole suite of classes you can choose from, and you're going to pick and choose the ones for your curriculum.
Right.
Are there some core classes that all of the Master Naturalists have to go through or should go through to really feel fully certified?
We really don't do that. We do have a curriculum, core curriculum, that the state has put out there, and it's available on our chapter website, but there are no... classes that everyone must take. We really would like everybody who's going to join us to go to the opening class because that has all the information we have for introductory things about us, which will be on the 22nd. But if they miss that, that's not a big deal. We can catch them up and talk about that, give them a handout for anything they might have missed there. Basically, they just need to get enough of the education that they can. And then, you know, the purpose is to get enough education on a variety of activities so they can volunteer for various projects that are being taken place by the conservation organizations. And they can choose which ones they, like is their niche, that they want to really get involved with certain activities. I know Perky's gotten so involved with pollinators to help support bringing the monarchs back. And she's got an organization that she's involved with doing that. So she can maybe talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we'll get around to that soon. Continuing with some of the class details that will be helpful for our listeners. So if someone's listening, they go, that sounds really interesting and has March 22nd open at least. How do they sign up?
It's a $65 fee for the first year members, $15 for subsequent years if you've joined previously, and they can send a check in to our P.O. Box, which is P.O. Box 1062 in Sandpoint, 83864, mm-hmm. or they can bring their money to the opening class mm-hmm. and on the 22nd.
That's not per class. That's for the whole
season. That's for the year. Yeah, that's for the full year, yes. Yeah.
If they're not wanting to commit to, say, the full program, can they attend a few? Are some of them open to the public on a hit-or-miss basis?
We open classes to the public every year, some of them. This year, we're trying to do more of a push. Last year, we had a lot of members, as I mentioned, who were working, so we didn't have a lot of attendance at some of the classes. So this year, we're going to open up more to the public than we typically have. I've got notes on which ones I think we will do, but we're going to have a board meeting tomorrow, and we'll talk about this more to confirm that. But we've got a class called, for example, Recreating Bear Country that Brad Smith of ICL is going to do. That could be an open to the public. Typically, we want to have the ones open to the public where there will be outdoor classes, field trips, because in our headquarters where we do our bulk of our educational in the indoor classes, we can only accommodate about 20 people. Mm-hmm. If we do some classes open to the public that will be beyond that and that are going to be indoors, we can get the rooms at the library to open it up to more people. Mm-hmm. But we'll have probably some geology classes or field trips open to the public. The Kokanee spawning run in the fall will be. A mushroom class and foraging field trip will be. We'll have bird watching and by ear and conventional method, Kerry Hugo from the BLM will do. So those are just some of the ones that we know will be open to the public, and then we likely will come up with some other topics as we agree to those tomorrow.
Yeah, there are so many things to choose from. So is there a limit to the size of the group that's going through? I'm not sure if you call it a cohort or how you would describe this year's class of Master Naturalists writ large, but is there an upper limit because there's a space limit at the facility?
We have discussed limiting it to 25 new members. We know that not everybody can make every class, so we, with room at our headquarters for 20, then we can do that. If we get more than that, then it's just too difficult to fit them into our space.
So some there might be a standing room only crowd for those really favorite topics.
Yeah, it could be.
It'd be
nice if it were.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about reserving space at the library if we get a lot of interest. That would be helpful.
Do you have any way of knowing ahead of time? Do people sign up in advance for the specific ones they're attending, or is it a show up when they can basis?
We have talked about, because we didn't get a lot of large attendance at some classes last year, of doing RSVPs. If we open to the public, we'll definitely do an RSVP request for that, and that'll let us confirm whether we need to use the library space or not, because that's a good space, you know, as the Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society meetings take place there too.
I know there's so much more to talk about. We want to give a lot of time to the volunteer aspect of the organization, but this might be a good time to break between the educational classes and the volunteers and take a little short music interlude. And if you're just tuning in, this is KRFY 88.5 FM, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. You're listening to The Morning Show. I'm your host, Phil Huff, and this morning on the show, we have Patrick Myers from the Idaho Master Naturalist Pondere Chapter. He's the chapter president. And Perky Smith Hagedone, who is the volunteer education chair. I think that's the right title.
Yes, I think so.
Close enough to it. Yeah. Retired educator can't get it out of her system. So let's take a break and listen to a little bit of Coldplay. Welcome back to The Morning Show, KRFY 88.5 FM. We're talking this morning with Patrick Myers and Perky Smith Hagedone from the Idaho Master Naturalists Pondere Chapter, now in its, I'm doing the math real quick, 13th or 14th year, which is just amazing. I can remember when it started out, when it was a concept.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is, fully formed with a whole large number of graduates who are all coming back for the continuing education and volunteering. And we're going to get to the volunteering. I think there were one or two more classes Patrick wanted to highlight before we went on to volunteering.
Okay, some of the things that we like to do for our classes is get people out and see things in nature as much as possible. So in many cases where we have a field trip planned, we'll have a, indoor classroom, and then we go on a field trip after that. And some of those topics that we're planning on doing some field trips would be local plants identification at Round Lake. There's going to be a Idaho botanical foray in the Cabinet Mountains, a mushroom class in the fall in October. Got some bird watching and going out to conventional and by ear. Carrie Hugo is with the BLM is a great instructor, and she knows the sounds of the birds by she can identify them by their sounds, because so many oftentimes out in nature you can't see the bird, but you can hear them chirping away. So she'll tell you what that is. We'll have some geology and Ice Age floods field trips. A kokanee spawning run in September at Trestle Creek that Fish and Game does for us. That's a really great place to see the kokanee. And there's going to be a conifers identification field trip. So most of those will, a lot of those will have a classroom portion as well as a field trip followed up.
There's so much under the general purview. It's just, and we live in an area blessed with so many resources. It's the mind just wonders as to what could possibly be included.
I know.
How do you come up with the topics for each year? Is there a formula? Is it somewhat repetitive year to year? Or is it, okay, this is a really new, interesting one that we haven't done before?
We have a lot of them that are repetitive because we think they're important, and we have instructors who are willing to do that. A lot of our instructors are our Fish and Game personnel. But each year our education committee will try to come up with some different ones. For example, this year we've got that one I mentioned that was the botanical foray in the Cabinet Mountains. That's new. We're going to have a beneficial entomology class this year. In the past we've had and actually an aquatic entomology. Sometimes we don't do that. It's there's the kind of things we're looking at that are just something different. Can I think of any new ones, other new ones? That I think that's all we've got that are new this year. We might come up with some other ones as we go, because the classes are still being developed for later in the year. Our education committee is working on that. It's contacted instructors and need to verify dates on some and topics in some cases
there,
as well.
There are a few there that, you know, casting my eye about that seem foundational to becoming a volunteer. I know, for example, a number of Master Naturalists have come out to volunteer as a trail ambassador or goat ambassador. And so taking the Living on the Edge class from Laura Wolf about mountain biology and ecology seems like it would be very helpful, if not a foundational to that experience.
It is.
Yeah. It would.
Yeah. So, Perky, to follow that a bit more and tell us then how folks who show up to become a Master Naturalist put their volunteer hours into play.
Okay. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about the classes and the field trips as a member. 40 hours that first year was really like going to college. Loved it. And it was such a spectrum. There's videos. It was online at that time because of COVID, but we did still do field trips. And since then, but it laid the foundation for developing an interest in doing an action. So as a Master Naturalist, every year you have to do, you don't have to. It's so fun. I use the wrong words. You want to volunteer by the time you're done with the classes. And so we have a myriad of volunteer activities. Some are presented by the Idaho Fish and Game to help promote their projects, and some are by conservation organizations like the Friends of Scotchman Peak loves to have us come out and be trail ambassadors and to do trail maintenance. I did a little soiree of that, and it's really engaging and invigorating to do trail maintenance. Yeah. So we have a big list, and like Pat said, the classes are they evolve. So some of our volunteer opportunities are still evolving, but I'm going to go through some because it's quite a list. I don't know if you want me to go through all of them, but this year, for sure, in May, but I don't have an exact time yet, we're going to plant over 2,000 to 3,000 shrubs and trees at the Boundary Smith Creek Wildlife Management Area, which is really going to help that habitat.
Location for that Bees to Bears project a few years back, mm-hmm. if I recall right. Is mm-hmm. this a follow-up to that?
I think it is. Yeah, for sure.
Same site, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then Casey McCormick is my contact at Idaho Fish and Game, and he's in charge of all non-native species in North Idaho. So that's insects, birds, reptiles, amphibians, you name it. So he loves our help. So in the spring, when the chicks are born, we're going to do loon surveys, which is super fun. You go out in your kayak or your boat, and we have a data sheet that we collect data on the loons. And we did it last fall, and then we're going to open it up again this spring. And so if you like to kayak and you like birds, it is...
great combination.
Yeah. And I just went out to the lake and heard two loons 2 weeks ago. So they're here.
They're here.
We are also in Dover, invasive species around the world are a difficult topic because... they're still animals, they're still plants, but they disrupt the environments where they've been introduced. So in Dover, there was and still is quite a population of invasive snapping turtles that only live in the east. And for some reason, they've congregated in Dover wetlands. So last year, we had a snapping turtle project where we used humane live traps and remove them from the ponds. And we got 12 of them last year.
Wow.
And one of them, I believe, was 36 pounds.
Wow.
And the issue with them is they eat the painted turtle hatchlings and ducklings. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's another project. We had quite a few volunteers for that. I think we had like 12. We're going to, like Patrick discussed, it's kind of... countywide, this intense interest in helping our pollinators, which are birds, bees, mason bees, and butterflies. And so there's a group called the Mighty Monarchs Conservation Group, and there's another group, the Wild Ones, and we're working in tandem to help plant pollinator gardens all around the county. And so Casey would like us to plant different types of pollinator plugs out at the Coeur d'Alene and Pendre wildlife mm-hmm. management areas. And so it's going to be wildflowers and milkweed mm-hmm. because you need both.
Mm-hmm. And there's some emphasis or interest on the monarch butterfly, hence the name.
Yes. And so the monarch butterfly is a flagship species. And because it's so well known, people love monarch butterflies. And in Idaho, northern Idaho, the population here is like, I think I've only heard of one sighting, and I haven't confirmed it. And they used to be here all the way up into British Columbia. And so we're trying to build a corridor there in southern Idaho to bring it up, bring the butterflies up into northern Idaho, because this was a historic range for them.
Well, as they said, if you build it, they will come. So if you plant the milkweed, they'll come.
Oh, yeah. They will. They'll travel 100 miles the scent. Who knows? They're magical.
How does an insect or an animal that small have the olfactory sense to detect that 100 miles away?
I don't know. Everything you learn about them, that's another whole topic. That could be another radio show.
Well, there you go. We'll have to book you back on
soon. Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to do monarch milkweed surveys for Casey McCormick, and that'll be in July and August. So we want to see what we have here, and people are doing monarch mapping where you can map milkweed online, but I think I'll talk about that in another show. Mm-hmm. We also, this is new this year, we usually do bluebird houses. And we sell them for $12.
$15.
Mm-hmm. And that we're going to have a sale at Superdrug here coming up. I'm not sure of the date.
The price of housing just continues to increase in our area.
Even bluebird houses.
Yes.
But it's a deal. They're made out of cedar. They're very well made. And
That'll be in the morning on the 30th of March.
Thanks, Pat.
At Sandpoint Superdrug.
But this year we're going to make bat houses. and sell those as well. And we use the profits to help with projects for the Idaho Master Naturalists do. And then there's a huge project that Casey's developing. It won't be ready till next year, but the Bayview Naval Base wants to put in a giant pollinator garden. So I'm really excited about that. But it's still in progress. They're working on it. And then another thing that we do that's, you know, feeds my educational heart is we do a lot of field trips out at the WDC for Bonner County school children.
The Water Life Discovery Center.
Yeah, at the Water Life Discovery Center. And we do third grade, fourth grade, and fifth grade field trips, all different times. And how they work is there's four centers, and it's usually, my mind's going blank. There's four different centers, invertebrates, fish, all kinds of educational presentations on our local flora and fauna and get kids excited about our area.
Now, I didn't hear you mention Round Lake in your volunteer opportunities, but I know they've had troubles with invasive snails.
Yes.
And that just seems like it would be a ripe opportunity.
I know it. I haven't talked to Casey about the snails yet, but yeah, there's a lot going on in this county. It's worldwide. You know, it's just people caring and getting out there and making a difference. And I love that about that Master Naturalist and the other organizations in our county that are just so involved. We also are going to do a Selkirk Conservation Alliance Earth Day field trip. That's super exciting. And it's the same. It's four centers and kids run through that. And the Master Naturalists are asked to help the presenters. Sometimes they are the presenters for these field trips.
And where's that going to be?
In May. They're all in May. Oh. I don't have exact dates.
Okay.
Because some of them I don't, and so I apologize for that.
I think those are late in May, the 28th through the 30th or something like that.
And then there's the huge water festival at Riley Creek that Gail Bullen has organized for years and years, ever since I was a teacher, actually. And that is all the fifth graders in the district are bused over to Riley Creek. And it is organized to a T. There's tents that the kids rotate through. There's animal tracks. You can make bandanas with animal prints. Pat, what station did you work at?
I worked at the watershed station.
Right. So there's how many stations? Like there's five.
Five different ones.
Yeah.
Fisheries, macro invertebrates. The the bugs in the water. Animal tracks and watershed, and then fur trapper.
Getting kids involved is so important for the future in so many general ways, but they really are the backbone of the community and just a wonderful opportunity here.
So if you think about it, there's third, fourth, and fifth grades that are just constantly invited to go to all of these hands-on, inquiry-based educational events. So that one's also in May. They're all in the end of May. Because it's right before school gets out, and the weather's sort of consistently safe to have outdoor field trips. So we're really excited about those. Should I keep going?
Keep going.
Okay. This one's really cool. It's called Take Me Fishing. And it's TJ Ross, the communications director for Idaho Fishing Game. And this is all around this county and in Coeur d'Alene. And he goes, they have a huge van that's full of displays about fish, and they bring fishing poles for the kids. And the whole idea is to help kids learn how to tie flies and ID fish, our local fish, because our bull trouts are endangered. So we want kids to know the difference between a bull trout and the other fish that live in our lake. And it's so he has experts at each stations that the kids go through, and then they actually get to fish. And so our job is to help them fish.
So all these experiences sound wonderful, and step in here and clarify. Some sound like educational opportunities for the master naturalists who are going through this year's classes, come along and learn more. And some of them sound like hands-on. Now I'm going to get my volunteer time in.
Right. Well, all of these, you can get your 40 hours of volunteer time. And it's really actually quite easy to get the time in to certify mm-hmm. for the year. And you do learn. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a, you don't get to count them for both, but I learned a ton going and volunteering. Yeah. I mean, a ton, because you get taught by the experts that are usually leading the classes. Some of us are the experts who lead them, but it's a win-win mm-hmm. as a volunteer, because you're exposed to one like this particular, working with children. There's nothing better, because they're so excited and so open to new learning. And then you also get to learn. You meet people that are like-minded and interested in our environment, which is really engaging and makes you feel really good how many people there are that are very enthusiastic about helping. Let's see. Oh, this one's cool. We're going to be making, it's another educational thing. The Idaho Fish and Game used to have educational trunks, and I used to check them out when I was a mm-hmm. teacher, and inside are all hands-on activities that a teacher can check out and take to their classroom and use for 2 weeks. And in it, there's pelts, there's skulls, there's games, books, resources, stuffed animals for the kids to hang on to. It's elementary focus at this point, the first group. And the old trunks, just because of management, they stopped using them. Mm-hmm. So we are resurrecting them. And Debbie Crane is writing a grant to get them funded. And then we're going to put them together. And so far, I think our topics are going to be bears, the difference between a black bear and a grizzly bear. And then pollinators, of course, butterflies and pollinator gardens. And one's going to be wolves and the importance of wolves in our ecosystem. And we're still discussing the theme of another, but we're going to make four of those for here and four for Kootenai County if we get the funding.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's quite an exciting project.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then, wait, one more.
One more.
Do I have time?
You have time.
It's really important. You'll like it.
Okay.
And we help the Scotchman Peak Wilderness by becoming trail ambassadors and working on the trails. So
there are so many great things for volunteers to do in our community. And so many of the things that are really great require volunteers. That this is a wonderful nexus for the Idaho Master Naturalist to become engaged in all of these. Mm-hmm. You look like you're going to...
I have one more. This is really exciting.
But wait, there's one more.
But what, do we have time?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yep.
Okay. Pat pointed to it. He kept pointing. Let's just talk about that one. Last year we did, and they've done it for years, but we were involved with the Idaho Conservation League water quality testing.
Yes.
And there was a whole army of us. It was 20, 21 or something.
Mm-hmm. Not that many from the Master Naturalist, but...
No. There was like
that's another,
three, four of us.
Another program that would not be possible without the army of volunteers that it takes.
And there's private volunteers plus a Master Naturalist got, I think there's four or five of us that volunteered. Yeah. And this, and we do water quality testing all around the lake, different spots. You go five times during the summer,
once a month, yeah.
Yeah, once a month.
May through September.
And this year, we got honored by the Idaho State as Volunteers of the Year. And then we got two awards. The Idaho Conservation League got two awards for the work that was done there.
So let's bring it all together to become a Master Naturalist. There's the class component. There's the volunteer component. And this process all takes a year more?
Mm-hmm. When I did it, it was, it's $65 to join.
Yep.
Very worth it. I mean, you get 40 hours of education for that. I mean, that's a deal.
Yeah.
And, I forgot where I was going with that. You have to do 40 hours of the education and then 40 hours of volunteer time. 40. And then the next year, it's only 15 that helps pay for pins and right. certain things that we need. And then 8 hours of continuing, and a lot of people do way more than that. And then the 40 hours of volunteer work.
And that continues
every year.
That continues on every year.
Every
which
year.
Is not a, that's not a heavy lift.
No. Yeah. Well, and once you get involved, you want to do
you
it.
You want to get
I mean,
involved.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah, well, I've actually gotten enough to be certified already this year. I have about 10 hours of education now and 97 hours of volunteering
yeah,
already.
Yeah, so I think I am too.
Just, yeah.
We're, you know,
and
overachievers.
And the season hasn't even really begun
yeah,
yet.
That's yeah. right, yeah. Yeah, we it's a calendar year event. We always start our classes in March and our typically last classes in October, but we'll have volunteer times throughout the year.
Yeah, throughout
but if
year.
You can't get your 40 hours of education time in the first year, you can go all the way into December.
Oh, yeah.
December 31st, because a lot of them are online.
And there's things to do.
Oh, yeah.
Well, before we wrap up, we'll want to get, you know, back to final contact information. Have we missed anything? Are there any... parts about the Master Naturalist you want to talk about that we haven't covered?
Well, a couple of things. If anybody is interested in joining, you know, we mentioned that our first class is at 1 o'clock on the 22nd of March. If you want some information on that before that date, send an email to imn.standpoint@gmail.com, and we can send you information. There's an information letter and a draft of the class schedule and that sort of thing. It, as Perky mentioned, $65 for the year. So send a check or bring the money then. And there are also some volunteer forms that I have to fill out, one for the Master Naturalist, one for Fish and Game, that with information about yourself and whether it's a kind of a sign-off on whether it's okay, whether you're okay to have your picture taken and published in any articles and newsletters. So that's it. One of the things, too, that we do that every year, and we're going to confirm this at our board meeting tomorrow, is we do a youth fly fishing clinic. That's usually our opening day, which is right after school's out. And we open that to the teenage kids, and it's going to be limited to a certain number. I think 20 is our max, so we
it's
typically
20.
Do. And that's we get a lot of assistance from Trout Unlimited. You know Laura Forsberg well, and she's helped us organize that. Bill Love comes, and other men. We have a lot of members who are members of Trout Unlimited as well as Master Naturalists, and they help teach the kids to do some fly casting, and then they go to the pond and try to catch some of the fish, and they get so much joy. A lot of almost all the kids there in the last 2 years when we've done this haven't fished before, and when they catch a fish from that pond, and Perky said, those fish are big. There's a local neighbor who feeds them daily, and they've grown really fat.
So that's
rainbow trout.
Just another wonderful youth engagement opportunity.
Yeah. I forgot to mention that at the WDC, there's a viewing station. Yeah. So they built in glass panels, and you could see the fish. Mm-hmm. And when you feed them, it's exciting.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So if someone's wanting more information, who should they call, or how should they find out more?
It's, again, just that email to IMN. standpoint@gmail.com. Yeah. That's the best way. We have a chapter webpage that's a part of the Fish and Game site, but it's a really long URL path, so it's best to just send an email to imn.standpoint@gmail.com, and then we can get information to you.
Okay.
And can I add,
sure,
we have put posters everywhere. So if you can't, you don't have a pen, just go take a photo of one of the posters, and it has all the information
these days,
on it.
Google's pretty good at sorting things out. If you just Google the Idaho Master Naturalists Pondere chapter.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Spelled like the lake, not like the city.
Right.
Yeah. Right. That's right.
The first admission test.
Oh, yeah. I called it Lake Pandoria when I moved here once.
And Phil, we've done,
quick.
Debbie Crane, who's our vice president, is also our communication chair this year, and she's done a lot of postings on our Facebook, not just our Facebook page, but three or four other Facebook sites in the area, like Sally Valley Neighbors and North Idaho Life and that sort of thing, to try to get the word out to get people interested in joining us this year.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you'll get that morning show bump, and you'll see a huge sign up for people for the March 22nd class.
Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, this is 88.5 FM KRFY's morning show. I'm the Tuesday morning show host today, Phil Huff, and with me in the studio are Perky Smith-Hagedorn and Pat Myers from the Idaho Master Naturalist, talking about the upcoming classes. Very exciting stuff, and so you'll want to check it out. We've running up close to the top of the hour, so I don't think we're going to have time much more than one song to go out. And by Pat's request, a little bit of Vanessa Williams. Tune back in for the morning show, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, our new Monday editions of shows, and Friday's news hours. So love to have you here back at 88.5 FM.